You're listening to the Maniverse Podcast with your host, Tom Traplin, and this is session number 145. All right, welcome to another episode of the Maniverse Podcast. Today we're talking with Andrew Johnson. Andrew is one of the founders of Manipool.com, a brand new Magic Gathering marketplace where stores and independent sellers and players can come and buy and sell Magic cards without all the hassles and fees of some of the established marketplaces. And they're doing some really interesting things on the platform, and they're very open to feedback as well as feature requests and all kinds of things. They're working very hard on making this thing the place to be for Magic Gathering players and sellers. So if you are a store that does single sales, this is a great opportunity for you to expand some of your reach and find out what Manipool is working on and how they would plug into your existing business. They're making it really easy for stores on platforms like Shopify or Crystal Commerce to connect to the platform and get their stuff listed. So if you're interested in finding out more after you listen to this podcast, I recommend you go to maniversesaga.com/Manipool. And if you go through the referral link, you get all kinds of cool perks like no marketplace fees for the first 6 months, as well as cash rebates earned up to $100,000 in gross sales, $6,600 in cash back. So definitely worth your time to check it out. 0% marketplace fees, cash rebates, all kinds of cool stuff. So definitely go check out maniversesaga.com/Manipool and sign up, get your store listed, plug everything in, and then find out how Manipool can help you expand your singles sales. So let's jump in to the chat that I had with Andrew Johnson. All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Maniverse Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Traplin, and this is the podcast where we talk about building successful, friendly local game stores. And I have with me Andrew Johnson, somebody you might have run into recently at a Magic event in the recent past. And he's doing something really exciting. I'm really happy to have him on the show and excited to talk about it. So thank you for joining me on the podcast, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.
So, Manipool.com. Let's talk about the Magic marketplace that you're building and a little bit about yourself.
Well, I guess we started working on Manipool last year. Even a little bit before that, we started talking about it. Myself and my partner have been Magic players for a long, long time. I think we all go back to 94 or so. And, you know, we've been around since it was, you know, all competitive play and no commander and, you know, not that many sets and not that many printings. And now it's really exploded into a huge thing and we've been playing all along. So, yeah, Manipool is, you know, basically it's a marketplace for Magic cards. It's the only sort of cards that we're doing. It's, anybody can go on there and post cards for sale or buy cards. And, you know, we started having this idea. I'm working with two guys named Tom Pinnell and George Leslie Waxman on this. And Tom and I started talking about Magic card marketplaces, you know, a year or two ago, just because we saw sort of the state of online Magic sales. And we thought that there could be something better. So I think we met up at a Gamma conference one time in Reno. And that's where we first started talking about it. We were just kind of hanging out and playing poker and chit-chatting about different stuff. And we left that both really excited with like lots of ideas about what we could do in the space. Because he has a big game store and I'm a software developer. So we kind of felt like we had like the right mix of knowledge and skills to work on something like that. Yeah.
Okay, so let's start there. What is wrong with the current state or the more recent state, the last couple of years? What's wrong with the state of the Magic Online marketplace?
Well, I come at it from a small seller perspective, I guess. I've always done a lot of just like random sort of business in Magic cards on the internet. I've traded on Facebook marketplaces. I've traded on TCG Player. And my friend Tom has a big game store in California. So we both have like different sort of experiences with buying and selling Magic cards, but we both come back to like, oh, there could be something better. There's nothing that really captures the community all in one space and like reveals all of the great cards and all the great people who are dealing in the cards. And you see sort of a splintering between, you know, people doing like auctions for interesting cards. Like I'm kind of interested in the restricted list and old cards, and you see sort of auctions going on in Facebook threads. And you're like, well, why are there auctions on Facebook threads? Or you see, you know, these sorts of cards going on eBay, and you wonder why there's just tremendously high fees and all sorts of like, and all the Magic cards trapped among all the other strange products on eBay. When really, when we started looking at it more, there's just so many Magic players now. There's way more Magic players than there were when I was a kid. You know, it was just all one sort of person who played Magic, but now the community has really grown and includes just so many different people that we think, you know, there's a chance for there to be a community site around just Magic where everybody can sort of get together and transact and like sort of a bazaar like experience, not just like a supermarket of Magic cards like you find with all the Magic cards next to all the Pokemon cards, next to all the Flesh and Blood cards, but something that really captures Magic and what it is and all the different tools and ways you could search and filter and fit and post and sell cards that are just Magic cards. And so that's kind of what we see. We think that there is a problem in that Magic really doesn't need to be mixed with all the other card games like you see on all the other marketplaces. And you also see like flight to Facebook and Twitter and other like sort of social platforms like Discord to buy and sell cards because fees are really high, especially in the United States. On all the different places to buy and sell cards, fees are very high. And so we thought there was an opportunity to do, you know, good software in the space. And like, we have ways we think we can keep fees low in the long run so that all the community can congregate and you know, transact in cards.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a great way to approach things. And I think, you know, as established markets start, you know, have matured, they've kind of gotten, I don't know, I'll say complacent, but they're comfortable with a certain level of price. As you said, the fees are pretty high, but that means that there's an opportunity for somebody to come in and maybe go offer a little bit lower with a slightly more refined offering, right? So I think one of the questions that a lot of stores would have would be why go onto this marketplace versus, say, TCG Player being the default, you know, the big elephant in the room in terms of cards anyways, or in Magic and Pokemon, but why, I guess, why create it on your end, and then why should a store owner, you know, take a chance on Maniple?
I guess we wanted to create it on our end just because we really did have a vision for a marketplace that would work better, where like all the features on the website would work nicely, the search would work nicely, maybe you could search by, you know, facets related to Magic cards that you just can't search for on the other sites, or like it would let you do that in a more user-friendly way, such that the software would work both from the seller and the buyer perspective. And I guess our approach, given how there really is a lot of lock-in on the current markets today, is that we try to make it very easy for any store to connect. And so as we're ramping up and getting more and more traffic on the site, we can't go out and say, oh, you can make all your money on manapool.com, but we can make it very easy for it to be one spoke from your hub. So a lot of game stores out there are set up using either Shopify or Crystal Commerce, or there's another thing called CCG Seller. So, and there's other platforms too you can build your site on. And for the stores that are set up in that way, it's really just a couple of button clicks to be like, okay, now I'm on Manapool too. And I just, because you often see these stores will syndicate all their cards to TCG Player, to eBay, to Amazon, to Card Market in Europe, and to Card Trader in Europe. And so you can set up your store to where it can put all the cards in all the different places. And so what we focused on early on was making a Shopify integration and a Crystal Commerce integration and making those work really well and be dead easy to install. So, you know, that's sort of our value prop to stores early has been, you know, it's just real easy. You can just go click a couple buttons. We're going to give you more orders. They're going to come into your normal workflow. If you're working in Crystal Commerce, then you can just sit there at Crystal Commerce and fulfill your orders like you normally would, whether they're coming from our marketplace or somewhere else. And same thing with Shopify. So I think we've made the lift really easy, which has let us be very successful at getting stores on board. I mean, at this point, I think we have close to 75% of all Magic singles represented on the marketplace. And we're trying to get deeper and better representation of all those cards. But I mean, you could basically go buy any card on the site. Cause you know, when I say 75%, I mean, well, that includes like, there's all these different arts and stuff for all these different cards. We basically have every card at this point, but we're just trying to get all the various printings and all the various finishes and all that sorts of things on the marketplace. And so like, I think that's what's been appealing early on. It's like the software works really well. It really, we have not had any disruption to any store. We have pushed orders. We have not made it hard to use. So I think that's been good. I think in the long run, it's harder to pick off the sorts of people who are like manually uploading spreadsheets to one site and who are like, just have a workflow or are like locked into like the pro features of a particular site to where they're just like, oh yes, I only sell on this site and my own website. And for those, that's a harder long-term sell. But I mean, in the short run, we've really focused on the people who are doing hub and spoke sorts of models and who want to be on all the marketplaces and see value in that.
That makes a lot of sense. I think the ease of being able to just click, like you said, click those couple of buttons, you know, you're servicing some of the more major or common platforms that store owners are using right now. And just saying that, well, you go to the app store and you click this button and the two apps are connected and orders just start coming into your store, right? As Manipool grows, it's just good for you. There's no reason not to essentially be on this platform, especially if you're already using something like TCG Player, because it's essentially the same offer. It's just, you get to keep more of your money.
Yeah, more of the money. And also like, we try and be very like, to do good customer support. My background before this was, I had another app called Gaia GPS that we sold to a larger company. And this is, to this day, it's still the most popular app if you're going to go backpacking or backcountry skiing. And so we really focused on, again, a very small niche. This was another one of my hobbies. There were more popular apps for like, you know, a casual hike. There was an app called All Trails, or there is an app called All Trails, where if you're going to go on a, like, you want a reviewed hike and you just want to go on a particular trail, that's the app for you. Or if you want to go hunting, then there's another app called Onyx Hunt, and that's the app for you. But if you wanted to go like backpacking, then our app was really focused on that. And we were in a small niche, and we really focused on talking to the customers and understanding what they were doing and keeping them safe. Because like, the people who are going backpacking are just sort of a strange breed of people who are most people just don't do it. And so you really have to like talk to the people and understand what they're doing. And I think we're taking the same approach with Manipool in that we're like very present. We're very active on our Discord. We're very open to taking like, you know, Google Meet calls and talking to store owners and asking them questions about what they're doing. And so I hope to maintain that both from this previous business and here, that we just have a high level of customer service, that you can reach humans on the other end of the line, that like, if you have a problem with your order, either as a buyer or a seller, we are going to make sure it comes right and everybody's happy. It's not just like there's some machine that's going click, 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 click on your business, that there is someone you can talk to.
Yeah, that's definitely a big advantage, right? Trying to get a hold of somebody, you know, somebody higher up on eBay or TCG Player or like Shopify or Bindr, right? It's pretty much impossible. You know, you try and deal, like, their customer service is not non-existent, right? So there are ways of solving your problems, but you're not going to get a hold of a human, or it's going to be very difficult to get something answered. And I could see that being a really big advantage, that if stores wanted to connect with you, you're very easily, you know, you're very easy to get a hold of.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think TCG Player was always that way. There definitely was, like, they still have a strong brand among a lot of people. And, like, it used to be very easy to talk to the people there. But, I mean, like, come on, eBay. Like, no one's talking to anybody at eBay. I remember when we were first starting to experiment with this business, I was working with Tom on setting up another retailer online called Card Ogre. So we were like, because we wanted to have a separate one from his store plus EV, to where we could put multiple stores on our platform using different backends. And early on, like, we started, he was like, okay, I'll do my whole song and dance. We'll get lots of transactions going on eBay. And we sold tons of cards really quickly on eBay, and we got immediately kicked off. And there was no, we were fulfilling the transactions and we were doing a good job and everybody was rating them highly. But eBay was just like, well, the rules have indicated you are doing too high volume, too fast. So goodbye. And like, we tried to call through and get this all like sorted out. And like, we just couldn't get it to anybody. At first we were getting like, they're like, we would call in and we would get their like fifth tier support and who didn't know anything about Magic cards. So eventually I started calling in through my account on eBay, where I've been actually selling on eBay since 1999. So I have like an account that has lots of high standing. And so like I immediately got to like the collectible card department who deals with like people who buy a lot of Magic cards. And like they were able to talk to me. But then they still would not do anything at all to like sort out my seller account. And so like we ended up having to just shut down that account and start up a new account. And then we had to go much slower because they were just like, oh, you just tripped our robot. That was like, you sell too fast. It could be a scam. And but now that business is chugging and it's just like not a problem at all. So whatever like sort of flag we tripped on there is just like they, I'm sure they would prefer it didn't happen if they could like look at everything, but they just can't because it's just kind of too unwieldy at this point.
Yeah.
That's another reason why I think it's good to like, you know, focus on the magic niche because then maybe it's never too big because you can just really understand your business and understand your customer and keep it down to a certain size to where you never have to just be a big faceless thing. I mean, I'm sure as we grow, there's like some amount of pressure to automate things and whatnot, but I think we can still let you talk to a human, I think, and know what your business is. And I think that'll help forever.
Yeah. I think there is a pressure when you, once you get to a certain scale to make it so that you have to automate that kind of stuff. And it's, there's all sorts of stuff that goes into that, but I don't think that's necessarily a guarantee. It doesn't have to be that way, right?
It doesn't have like to be an inevitable thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Zappos customer service is like insanely world-class level where you can call the person and, you know, you just say, well, I had a trouble with my order and I really want you to order me pizza. And the person will order you a pizza and they'll figure it out for you. And they'll come back and they'll call you. Like, got you covered, dude. Like, that's the level of customer. Like, there are always people willing to do customer service. And that's a massive, you know, multinational company. Like, doesn't mean that you just get crushed by the algorithm every time, although that is kind of the trend that seems to be going where, you know, you just sort of, you get flagged and then you're, oh, well, I guess your account's, you know, shut down. You're one of a bazillion other companies that we're dealing with right now. You know, it's not a big deal to us if somebody has one bad experience.
It's really dangerous in this day and age to hook your business up to any particular one thing. You know, if you're too dependent on Amazon or you're too dependent on the Apple App Store or you're too dependent on Google Ads, then really it could be just overnight that, you know, some automated algorithm really shuts you down. So I do think that's another sort of reason why, you know, everybody in this market should be into there being more competition, that they shouldn't want there to just be one monolithic place where everybody transacts every single collectible card game in the world. So I think there's, and we've seen this too. We've seen that people are very welcoming to the idea that we're working on this. And that's also like helped give us a lot of energy to work on it, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Giving your prospects and we're like, hey, I've got this great idea. I think this is what it's going to look like. And they're like, yeah, that sounds great. That's exactly what I've been waiting for. Please tell me when it's finished. That's excellent feedback. And that, which brings me to my point. You were at the MagicCon in Chicago recently, correct?
That's right. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
How was the reception there? I know what it was like, but tell me about what happened with when you were talking about Manipool at that event.
Well, I will say we made it easier to ourselves because we were handing out basically packs of Magic cards to anybody who would sign up for the site. So we went through like 16 cases of Karlov handing out packs to people. And we had a little thing going where if you rolled dice, you could win additional prizes. And we had these big fuzzy dice if you went, rolled the first dice and they went well. So we were kind of mobbed at the booth. I felt like that, I mean, on a dollar for dollar level, it wasn't like sort of worth the signups we got. But on a dollar for dollar level, it was 100% worth all the conversations we had and how we kind of settled into the Magic community at that event. That event was actually so successful that we're going to do MagicCon Vegas 2 coming up. But I really found that after being at MagicCon and establishing our booth there, the sellers, the big sellers were really open to talking to us in a way that they weren't before. When I was wandering around, I remember going to previous Magic, the last MagicCon Vegas, I would wander around and be like, hey, big seller, I'm starting a Magic card marketplace. You can see it's totally live and you could go hook up to it right now. And I know you're Shopify because I looked you up. And so you could just go click a button and sign up. And they'd be like, please leave, sir. I am buying and selling Magic cards and you are not significant to my business. And so like I would wander on and like, you know, some people definitely were nice to me and like, but they were busy. They're there to like, they're spending a lot of money to be there. And like, if you're just wandering up trying to bother people with your website, then they're not going to be as receptive as if you're being like, actually, I'm spending money on this. This is a real business. I'm here too. Like I will arrange a meeting with you and not get in the way of this business you're trying to transact. Then, so yeah, I thought having a booth at MagicCon was super, super important for us. It really, it was pivotal. We came back so enthused about working on the site and with so many inbound emails and talking to so many people, that we have just been on fire since we came back from that. We immediately went to the Gamma conference too. We hadn't actually planned and we didn't have a booth there, but for anybody who doesn't, that's the Game Manufacturers Conference. And like, that's a big expo where everybody shows their new games and they go and you can, you know, meet with the accessories people and you can meet with the distributors and stuff. So we were wandering around there trying to talk to anybody in the Magic business. And yeah, that was also really a good event for us too. We made a lot of good connections there, especially having come out of MagicCon and people had heard about what we were doing. So we're just trying to keep that momentum. I've been sitting here, you know, coding up a storm as of my partner, George, and just trying to get so many things done that people are asking for and talking about. So
no, I think the idea of measuring the results of your marketing, always a good idea. The fact that, like you said, that you were giving away packs to get people to sign up, that's not a reasonable exchange, I would say, because people are signing up, they're giving you their information. That's a value exchange. And being willing to give them a little bit of value back is a reasonable price for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think also adding up or trying to value the spectacle that you've created as well, right? Like, you
yeah,
got
exactly.
The, okay, 1,800 or whatever signups. Okay, that's a concrete number that you can say, but how much is the conversation worth that now people are having, right? How much was the reputation boost that you carried into Gamma worth? And that's just another interesting, you know, from a marketing side of things, that's another interesting factor to consider.
Yeah, I think the branding's important. I'm sure a lot of, you know, your customers or the people you talk to on the podcast and stuff are game stores. And so they're trying to establish local brand. And I think that's super important because, you know, when you're local, you are trying to distinguish yourself from the other game stores locally. And there might be multiple game stores within driving distance of you. And so your customers are going to have choices about where to go. And so I do think like establishing brand beyond just like getting clicks or having something unique about yourself that people understand what you're doing and maybe creating some sort of a spectacle for a local store can be important too. We were talking about for MagicCon Vegas, we were like, oh, you know what? The big fuzzy dice, they were so popular. Whenever you got through the gauntlet and you got to roll the big fuzzy dice for the grand prize at our booth, that was like, got people chattering. And so we're going to like hopefully do some huge giant contraption to do a, you know, an even bigger game show like thing at the upcoming thing. And I think that sort of, you know, when you're in business, you kind of have to make a spectacle of things. You see a lot of the famous businesses often do crazy PR stunts. And like, I don't know if we're going to do anything too nutty, but I do think, you know, being colorful and being peacocking a little bit is important for business. It's good to,
absolutely.
To show off. Yeah.
To encapsulate this, I think we are largely nerds. As a group, we're very nerdy. You know, makes sense given the business that we're in. But that also means that generally fairly introverted. We're not necessarily the big personalities all the time, right? That's not as common. So most store owners, I don't think they're really thinking along the lines of, yeah, like show off, like go big, you know, be
absolutely
something
not.
That people
yeah.
are talking about. And they just kind of want to quietly do their business and be happy and, you know, interact with the customers that they really want to interact with and that kind of thing.
That's
but
right.
If you really want to get people talking about you, you have to do something that's worth talking about, right? You have to be remarkable. People have to want to be like, did you see that? Were you at that booth? Like, you see what they're giving away over there? You see the giant, like that kind of stuff. You have to think about being a little bit more, right? If you want to really be noticeable, you have to be willing to stand out from the crowd and do something different that no one else is necessarily doing. And I like that approach. I think that's a really interesting way of doing it. And I guess like, we deal in the gaming sphere, right? So gamifying the thing is a really natural extension of the space, right? Like, it's perfect.
And store owners can probably figure that out. They know how to make a game of things.
Exactly.
I sometimes think about these glasses. I've never worn clothing in my life that ever got comments, but I can invariably go out anywhere for a day. And like these glasses, someone would be like, oh, those glasses, they'll talk to me. That's never happened to me in my entire life. I'm over 40 now. And I've thought to myself since I got these glasses a couple years ago, I'm like, I really wish I would have had and understood this when I was younger, that like people would just come up to me because I wasn't the sort of person who could just go up to somebody and be like, hey, you're cool, let's have a date. and that would work. I just wasn't, it wasn't in me to try and be flirtatious and whatnot. And I really think if I would have understood that like having like some sort of outlandish clothing and stuff really would have people talking to me, then I would have done that earlier in my life. And so like, I mean, these are cheap glasses, actually. I got them on zennyoptical.com. I get my prescription from Costco, and then I order all my glasses online because you can get a million cheap glasses from the site. And I threw these glasses in my cart as a lark. But like now I just wear them all the time because like I do. People are like just constantly, I'll like walk out of the gym and people are like, hey, where'd you get those glasses? Hey, did you know those glasses are Mondrian themed? Because I didn't know, actually. I bought these glasses not knowing that they were like sort of themed after this famous artist. And but, you know, so many people have like talked to me about them that I'm just like, ah, it's so interesting how that works. I've never had anything like that in my life. So, yeah, you got to do a little bit of, you know, standing out if you want to stand out, I guess. It's you would like to just stay in your bubble because I'm the same way. I like to, of all the business stuff we do, I'm a generalist. I do marketing stuff. I do coding stuff. I do sales stuff. The stuff I like is to sit at this computer and write code. That's the most fun thing, but it's usually not the best thing for me to be doing because my co-founder George is far better at coding than me, and I'm almost in the way sometimes when I'm trying to like work on the website. But you know, that's what I like to do. So I gotta push myself to go out and like go on somebody's podcast so I can talk about the site or something like that.
Yeah. I think the glasses are a great metaphor for what we're talking about. Because you don't have to go out and necessarily be outrageous, right? You don't have to be controversial or do things that, you know, would make people uncomfortable. You could just find a way enough to make something about your store, something about your business stand out. Just be unusual, right? Just be something that people would go by and be like, oh, that's interesting. There's a giant dragon head sticking out of the front of the building. What's that about, right? Like the giant inflatable gorilla on top of the car dealership is weird, right? It has nothing to do with cars, but it works because people are like, well, look at that giant gorilla. I got to go check. Oh, yeah. I wanted to go buy a Kia or something, right? Like I want to test drive a new vehicle because they're not going to necessarily put the two together. But it's enough that that's a draw. But for some reason, that works. Or the waving inflatable arm tube man, right? Like, that kind of stuff works. If you can figure out something like that for your shop, great little nugget to take from this.
that doesn't have anything
to do with the marketplace.
Yeah. I mean, if you're walking through, like, World of Warcraft or, you know, any of the sort of massively open games, the stuff that you go to has to be, like, clearly has to stand out. Otherwise, it's all sort of drab. So... yeah, you got to. It's all. I don't know. The whole world's a big game, right? So you got to figure out how to make your business or your store not just be another game store, or not just be another website, or not just be another marketplace. And it's worth thinking about, I guess. Sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. It's also fun. I don't know. This is a creative part of me that I enjoy. Which kind of leads me to another question. When you talk to store owners, and you mentioned that like you have a lot of one-on-one interactions with people, and you've had conversations with stores about, you know, what they might be interested in or what they're looking for, what kinds of language are they using? What are they excited to see about Manipul? What are the things that are drawing them to you?
I think they definitely like the sense that there's more competition, because I mean, a lot of folks just like, you know, they prefer to sell at lower fees. And so that's part of what's exciting about them. I think they also, there's a certain sense that like, if you go look on like eBay, like this website, why does eBay look like it's like 1999 still? Like there's some sense that the current marketplaces out there just do not haven't gotten like sort of the love and attention to make them modern websites where the mobile site works very well and the desktop site works very well and like it's making progress. Like there's some sense that these things just are kind of stagnant. And so I think they just like to see that sort of we have a fresh site, that we're making changes every day, there's stuff we're talking about that we haven't done yet. I think right now you can go and you look, there's like some good features about it. It's like, oh, well, if you type Yawgmoth Thrawn Physician into our website and you forget the comma, that's going to work. It's not going to just like, oh, you didn't type the comma, therefore I'm not going to show you anything. So that's a minor thing where we're saying, well, if we focus on magic cards, we can get the details very right. And so I think over the long term, the other things we've talked about doing are like, well, why isn't there any place where you can really post like artist proofs or altered cards or signed cards and have that be really a first class thing? Why isn't there a way to search the marketplace by my commander's identity? Why isn't people integrating, why are the auction sites not Magic specific? Why isn't there a really, really good way to do an auction on a Magic card that collects all of the Magic community who are interested in those cards and has features to really mark what's interesting and different about that card? Why is this all done on sort of generic platforms? And so I think over the long run, and this connects with the sellers, both the sellers and the buyers, is that by focusing in on Magic, that will just be better and better. That's how we'll, over the long term, differentiate our site versus all the other sites, which have to sit there and support Star Wars Unlimited and Flesh and Blood and Lorcana. And so a lot of their work and cycles goes into supporting new games and just making sure it works for all cards, where all of our cycles can go into being like, oh, it works better and better for Magic. And so we hope that proves true in the long run, that like as we just focus in more on the Magic side, that it becomes better and better. You know, when we started the marketplace, actually, our idea was not Magic only. Our idea was, we saw the marketplaces and we thought, oh, you know what? We can do lots of cool stuff with AI. Wouldn't it be cool if when you posted a listing on eBay, if instead of when it went to auction and then everybody decided, oh, I'll buy this, instead of it going to the authenticator and then rejecting it because you had put near mint in the description, but it was actually, like, according to them, not near mint. Instead of rejecting it and then everybody's unhappy, including the buyer, why wouldn't just you have AI look at that and be like, oh, hey, seller, you should edit your listing to say not near mint. You know, there's all sorts of things you could do with AI to make the marketplace run smoother. And so that was our original idea. But like when we were like probed at that idea some, we're just like, well, there's not that much here. Eventually you use AI in any marketplace. The other marketplaces are already using AI in interesting ways. And so we had to do like sort of a traversal of the idea space where we were thinking about markets and thinking about what we could do that was unique, until we finally settled on, you know, what would be really cool if it was only for Magic cards. That would really give us traction on things we would want to work on. Like, we would have a whole host of ideas. We would have limitless ideas that we would think would need to be better if it was only Magic cards. And so I think both for us as builders and for the people who were trying to get to adopt the site, that really like resonates. They're like, yes, I'm a Magic player. I'm not a Pokemon player. It sure would be nice if you were building a site only for me. And it's it's different from the store owners who sell all the stuff. But at the same time, the store owners, like we said, have this hub and spokes model, to where they can be like, yes, we would like there to be a better Magic site because that can be one of our spokes. We can still connect to Pokemon markets or whoever else has got markets through our Crystal Commerce or through our Shopify. But from the buyer side, they really just play one game. You definitely do see like some Magic players are like, oh, I like some Flesh and Blood cards sometimes, or whatever. But like in general, Magic players are Magic players. They're not CCG players or TCG players. Yeah. They play Magic all the time. And so I just, you know, it started to make a lot of sense. And I think that resonates with, you know, everybody, from us who want to stay excited about what we're building, and to the people who come shopping on the marketplace.
Yeah. And I like the idea of niching down and focusing on one particular market, one particular industry. That's my thing. I like the idea of, you know, 2 inches wide and a mile deep. It's a good way to go. I think the stores, you know, once they see the product and they see, okay, yep, I understand it, I get it, I think they'll be very excited for the potential for the future of what this could do. And even if all it is is just another channel for them to sell their stuff, right? If they're just selling singles, and it's just another place to get customers, that's great.
Or even seal product.
Excellent, right? Nothing wrong with that. So, speaking of the future, what is on your roadmap? Where are we at right now, and what are you hoping to kind of roll out in the next, like, let's say 6 months? What should people be excited for?
Okay, well, I'll pull up my GitHub, and I have like a bunch of PRs sort of piled up from even last night. And here's the things I was working on just now. Well, we just integrated Crystal Commerce. And so actually we got so many singles flooding the marketplace because that's showing up in the Crystal Commerce dashboard. And like, we were actually overwhelmed by how quickly that happened. We thought we'd have to go out and sell those people. Because of how Crystal Commerce works, it really surfaced the integration quickly, and people were just like, click, click, click. And so there's tons of cards on the site. On that side, I know my partner right now is sorting out why people's sealed products are not coming in from Crystal Commerce. So I expect that to go live today. I was actually on Reddit the other day posting about the site, and then someone was telling me, oh, you can't differentiate between all these cards because this one's supposed to be a surge foil and this one's supposed to be a textured foil. So I was working on that literally last night. And that will go live today, like badges differentiating between all the different promo types. And we were differentiating between foils and non-foils and like different languages, but like we hadn't gone quite that deep. So that's another thing where we're just like, by focusing on magic, let's get the details right. And it doesn't just like say in the title, like Renin 6 textured foil. It says like, it's, there's a nice graphical representation of it too. Let's see. I was working on like making the emails nicer, like the order emails as another thing. It's just like sort of sweating the details of making sure the seller gets reminders to post the thing, making sure the buyer gets a nice email summarizing what they get and when it shipped and all that things. We had those, but those like we wanted to make them nicer. And we actually are talking a lot about like what's the roadmap coming up. And some ideas we were talking about doing next were there's more back-end integrations we can do. Like one big one we haven't done is CCG Seller. And there's a couple of big game stores who would like to get on board, Strike Zone and Journey's End, who are using that on the back end. So we would have to really integrate with them before they could come on. So perhaps that, but like we actually might move more onto the buyer side because we're getting so deep now between Crystal Commerce and Shopify that's becoming, you know, when you're building a two-sided marketplace, it's kind of hard because you have to bring all the buyers and the sellers at the same time. And so it's felt like climbing a ladder where like need more buyers, need more sellers, need more buyers, need more sellers. Yeah. So now I feel like we're getting to the point where like we're deep enough on inventory that we should switch back to the other side. And so maybe something around non-fungible cards. Because we kind of split up cards between fungible and non-fungible. And fungible means like, you know, any card where it's just a card and it can be near mint or it can be like LP or it can be, and like all the price is the same if it's near mint. You just like, you want, if you're buying a near mint Renin 6, it's the same as any other near mint Renin 6 if it's of a particular finish and you just want to buy it that it gets there the fastest. You can trust the condition, you trust the seller. And so it's fungible. It's just like any other copy. But non-fungible cards are more like, you know, when you're talking about a Mox Ruby, It might be LP or it might be MP, but honestly, there's gradations between that that affect the value. And so the cards aren't really fungible. Each particular card is different, especially if it's altered or if it's signed or if it's an artist proof with drawings on the back or whatever. And so I think it'd be really cool to like launch something around, well, you can post non-fungible cards too. You can post cards where you put pictures and you can put descriptions, or maybe you can say who graded it and scan its barcode to where we'll automatically pick up, you know, the different features of the grading. So that's something on our mind. Another thing we've been thinking about doing better is a bulk buying service for the sellers on the platform, where you can send in a collection of cards and then we'll use our robots and stuff to scan them in. And then we'll aggregate all the buy lists among all the peoples on the platform. And then those cards can get distributed to the sellers. And there's a couple of reasons we think that's important. One is the buy list experience on TCG Players seems broken to us in that you need to put down a lot of money. For every dollar you want to buy cards on TCG Player, you have to put down a dollar to say, I have a dollar card I want to buy. Here's a dollar in my bank account, and it's one-to-one. If we do it this way to where we are buying bulk and then distributing it to the sellers, we feel like we don't need to have the same sort of security of you have to have money down when you say you want this card. We can manage that with the float of the sellers or just that we have a depth on of people who want a particular card. And then we also think this solves another problem where sometimes we think people who want to be a small seller don't actually want to be a small seller. They think they want to be a small seller because they want to just sell some magic cards. But actually what they would like is money. And so if they could get the best prices for their cards without spending a lot of time posting them on the marketplace, that might be better for them. And I also think that might improve the experience on the marketplace for everybody, if you have more of the cards being funneled very efficiently to the people who are doing good logistics, to the big game stores who are automating their stuff, who are sending out packages all the time. And you do want some people to be small sellers because certainly some people want to spend their time to make more money. They want to be active on the marketplace as a small seller, posting their wares. But some people, I think, are just sort of like, don't actually want that. They just only see it as the only path. And so I think we could have a lot of leverage in buying collections and then distributing them to all of the different sellers to sell more efficiently. So that's something on our mind. There's also the logistics angle of it. This is the thing. There's just like so many things we want to do that we're going to come up with one thing to go really deep on again. Currently, we're going really deep on integration. So we've been really focused on Shopify and Crystal Commerce and making sure that works perfectly. And so when we pick a thing next to dive into, we will pick a thing and dive into it. And then we will go and make sure it works really well. Another thing on our agenda is, you know, doing the logistics side of this. We want to be offering services to sellers where we're both storing their cards and sending them out for them, or sending out cards and then replenishing them. And the goals of this are, of course, to where the buyers can get fewer packages. Because right now, if you buy peer-to-peer on our marketplace and lots of people get you get cards from lots of sellers, then you're going to get a bunch of packages, and there's no way around that. So I think there's certainly a time in the near future where we'll be offering services that, you know, both Card Trader and TCG Player offer, where we will store your cards, or we will like buffer the card sales such that the packages can get, there can just be fewer. And it's clear that there's just value to this in that there's fewer packages for the world. You're going to save you're going to save gas. Like you're going to have there be less paper because there are fewer packages, and just we can be like, seller, we sold these cards, you send us a box. Or seller, if you want to sell a bulk, just send us that bulk and we'll store it for you. And we have a lot of tools to boot this up, because as there's sort of three legs to the founders. Like myself, I'm sort of the generalist startup guy and I code a little bit, but I also do the marketing. And then there's George, who is an ex-Google engineer, and his startup went public before, and he is just a killer coder. And like the last startup he did was integrating lots of gnarly different sort of health insurance systems into one large, well-working system, which is actually very similar to the Magic Market, because there's a lot of gnarly systems. And like, I feel like sometimes they talk about in startups, what's a 10X engineer? Not everybody is a 10X engineer in every case, but in this case, George is very much a 10X engineer, both because he has this experience integrating systems, and then also because he loves magic. Like he actually contributed to MTGJSON earlier in his career. So like he just knows magic so deeply and knows software so deeply that he is just sick at like the job we're doing here. And then the third leg is Tom Pinnell, who runs Plus EV Games in California. And so he has a highly automated magic operation. His store he sells a little bit of other sealed product and like Flesh and Blood or Pokemon or whatever, but he's primarily a magic card business. He sells magic sealed product and magic singles. And so he has card sorting machines. He has tens of millions of singles. He has grading expertise. He has employees. He has storage. And so like his expertise can very much transform when we need it to into our logistics operation, to where we're storing people's cards and we're sending them out and things like that, and grading and all these things that we need to support, you know, both authentication for our auctions or storing your cards in our warehouse and all those things. So I won't say exactly which thing we're going to do next, but it's somewhere between like logistics or maybe non-fungible cards. Or there's actually a couple like marketing partner integrations that are really exciting that popped up at MagicCon that we're thinking about doing too. So those things, but cool. I think either way, I'm stoked by who I'm working with on this, that we can do all these things.
Yeah. It sounds like you got a great team.
Indeed. Yeah.
Yeah. That's some pretty exciting stuff coming up in the future. And hopefully everybody who's listening to this is thinking like, yeah, this sounds great. What can I do to check this out? Where do I go to find out more? So now let's point them to the right direction. Where can they go to either connect with you or go sign up to become a seller?
I guess I would say just go to manapool.com. If you want to like connect with us directly, scroll down to the footer and get on our Discord and chat at us or tweet at us or something. You know, all of ours, we basically are pretty active on Twitter, pretty active on Discord. So if you wanted to like have a video call with me, then go get our Discord and tell me you want to have a call with me. And I definitely will. I'm doing half a dozen seller calls this week, because we verify every single seller who comes onto the marketplace right now. And I do it myself. So yeah, you can easily get a call with me as a seller on the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, jump into the Discord or like the Twitter. We sometimes post like codes to get $10 free to shop so we can get more testing and like more people signed up and stuff. So I would just ask, go to manapool.com. It's all sort of wrapped up there and you can find us very easily or sign up to be a seller or a buyer or whatever.
Cool. I'll make sure all that stuff is linked up in the show notes for anyone who's listening and is not in front of a computer and they can't check it. They can always go check it out later. Well, this was an excellent conversation. I'm very excited for Manapool and I'm really excited to see what it's going to do and look like in the future. I think it's got massive potential.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Shout out to Tap and Roll and Jeremy over there, who told us all about you because we met them at the Game Manufacturers Conference. And he's like, oh, did you know about Tom Traplin's Mandiverse podcast? I was like, oh, that's so cool. So it's always nice to, you know, small world. So it's nice to make a connection there and meet you.
Yeah. Jeremy's a good guy. Thanks, Jeremy. If you're listening, I'm pretty sure you are. I appreciate it. Do you have any final thoughts before we say goodbye?
I would just say that I would appreciate any any feedback on the site. We're definitely open to anybody saying it's terrible or telling us there's bugs or telling us we're doing it all wrong. So like whatever you want to say, we are open, and we might even, you know, do whatever you say. So come see us.
Excellent. Yeah. They're paying attention. So go talk to Andrew.
That's right.
All right. Well, that's it for today's episode of the Metaverse Podcast. Thanks again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate having us on.
All right. That is it for this episode. I want to thank Andrew for coming on again and sharing his thoughts and time with us on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And if you want to sign up for Manapool and you want to get in on some sweet perks like no fees for 6 months as well as cash rebates on your sales, go to ManiverseSaga.com/Manapool and sign up today. And then find out how Manapool can help you build your singles side of the business. That's it for the episode. I will talk to you again in the next episode of the Maniverse Podcast.